slide. So we're talking today again about our generous God. So this is the third Sunday, which is kind of wrapping it up. This, and we had Lawson share initially. That was fantastic. And Toe last week as well, which is great. So if you haven't listened to those, I recommend you do that. So we're going to continue on today. And I'm going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 9 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as well. So if you've got your Bibles or devices, whatever, I'll be flipping around, but basically I'll be staying in the boundary of those verses, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 9 and 2 Corinthians 9. So these letters to the Corinthian church were written by Paul, and he was deeply impacted and forever changed by God's generosity. We read in Acts how he started off actually being very against Jesus. And in fact, he went around murdering Christians because he thought they were distorting the real truth about who God is. And he thought he was doing God a favour. So he was really enthusiastic about his faith, but really enthusiastically wrong. So it's a bit scary, isn't it, sometimes when we think we're on the right track. So when we keep asking Holy Spirit that we're on the right track and keep talking to our brothers and sisters. But he was definitely on the wrong track, and he was on the road to Damascus to go to the synagogue and to get some more Christians and get them persecuted. But on his way, Jesus turns up and knocks him off his trajectory. And Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And explains to Paul, "You know, I'm God. And you're killing people because they believe in me, but they're believing in the true God. And I have come so that I can take away the sin of everyone, so that everyone can know forgiveness because of the blood that I shed. And so by simply believing in me and having faith in me, that's all you need, because it's all God's grace. You get to have restored relationship with God the Father. And then God the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and you get to live in freedom, full of God, full of the freedom of God, the peace of God, the joy of God." Whoa, that was amazing news to Paul, who always worked out his salvation with good works. But now all he had to do was believe in Jesus. Wow. He was knocked off his trajectory. And he was blown away. And so we can too have that amazing change in course too, can't we? Believe in Jesus, know that we're filled with His Spirit, Holy Spirit, so that now we're empowered to be led and full of joy and peace, full of God, to be exactly how He's made us to be. Wow, how wonderful is that? I love it too. You know, He was killing Christians. Jesus didn't come and smite Him. I mean, really, He could have. But he didn't. He extended grace and said, "Hey, you're on the wrong track. Get on the right track. Put your faith in me." That's grace. That's God. So God lit a fire of passionate love in Paul, because he thought, wow, this is the real deal. And so he wanted to set fires in the hearts of others. And Paul started to go around the country, being led by the Holy Spirit. And we read that sometimes God was letting him go somewhere, but then Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go other places because he was reliant completely on God now, not on his own thinking and what he thought was right. And he went from place to place telling people this great news about Jesus, and many came to faith and many churches were planted. And so one of them was in Corinth, to whom this letter is sent. And Paul was very aware that to fully live this life in Christ means a whole life affair. It means that everything needs to be in alignment. What's in our heart, what we really believe, what we really think, and what we do all should be impacted by this faith in Christ that we say we have. Because he wanted believers to experience the fullness that God has for them. Not just a little bit, but the fullness. And so when we say yes to Jesus, we're saved, but we keep in this process of salvation and sanctification as we walk it out with God and being obedient to what God's telling us and walking in faith. That's how we grow. And that, I guess, having everything in right alignment and living rightly is another way to think about righteousness. I don't know if you thought much about righteousness before, but just the next slide in Romans 14:17, Paul wrote to them and talked about the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is about when the kingdom where God is ruling. And so if God is ruling in your life, then it's not about eating and drinking. It's not about the external stuff, but it's about what's going on in our heart. It's about righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So everything we do now is fueled and led by Holy Spirit. So what does it mean if we try and look into righteousness again? What does it really mean to have righteousness? So righteousness in the top one about having righteousness, peace and joy means that we are in right standing with God. So we've said yes to Jesus. His blood covers us, washes us from sin so that when God the Father sees us, he sees us clean and holy. He sees us like he sees Jesus. And so we're in right relationship. We're in right standing and right relationship with God. And then Jesus also said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Well, hang on, we've already got his righteousness. Why are we seeking his kingdom and his righteousness? And all these things will be given to you as well, therefore don't worry. So Jesus was telling people about this because they were worrying about life. You know, where am I going to get enough money for food, for, you know, clothing and all that sort of thing? He said, don't worry about that, just seek God's ruling in your life, make sure he's master and his righteousness. So to look at righteousness then, it's seeking, Jesus hasn't died yet, so it's seeking right standing with God through faith in Jesus. But I think there's another side to it as well. It's about having everything in right alignment in our lives. Because we need everything in right alignment so that we can fully experience the life that we now have. So that means our thoughts and our actions, our mindsets, our heart are all in alignment with the new life we have in Christ. And it's a process. It's a process of getting everything into alignment. But as we partner with Holy Spirit, we want to bring everything into or under a divine microscope, and we really give permission for God to look in our hearts. What are we thinking? Our actions. Lord, is this really lining up with you? Because I want to be in right alignment. I want to experience and live out the righteousness that you've died for. So if we just have the next slide. So when we're in right alignment of heart, mindset and actions, that allows the fullness of God to flow in and through our lives. In Romans 5:5, Paul writes to the church there and says that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he's given us. So I thought, oh, that creates a bit of a picture in my head. I sort of see God pouring out his life into us, and we've got these parts to us, and if they're all in alignment, our heart, our mindset, our actions, then God's life could flow all the way through and we become like rivers of living water. So as God's life and love flows in us, it flows out and impacts those around us so that we may be a blessing. So we've received everything from our generous God who pours his love and life, and we now can have all that flow out. We haven't done anything. It's all because of God's grace that he pours his love and who he is into us, his Holy Spirit. We just need to receive what he's given us and be intentional about staying in God's grace and love. And so that means about keeping in alignment. So if we have that next slide. It's about doing the work and being intentional and asking God, Lord, where is my heart today? You know, is there unforgiveness in my heart? Is my heart right with you? Am I really trusting you with my all? Am I really trusting you with my possessions, my relationships, the season of life that I'm in? What's your mindset? What are you thinking about God? What are you thinking about yourself? Is it how God thinks about you? And then how does that impact your actions? So God, you know, God, we receive everything by God's grace. He's pouring it all in. But we need to do hard work of looking at where we're lining up. Our heart, our mindset, and our actions. One will impact the other. So Paul is wanting to address, he addresses every part of our life, and we look, see that in the letters that he writes to us. And it's the things that he addresses really address things like have to do with our security and identity, how we see ourselves, what we do with what we have, which is all really important to God. And one of the things he does look at is money, because we've been seeing that in some of the other passages we've looked at in recent weeks. And so he starts to address this side of their life, their finances, to the Corinthian church, and they've been really doing well. So the next slide, we can see that from 2 Corinthians 8:7, he says to them, look, you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us. Gee, I'd be pretty happy if someone said, if God said that about us, that'd be pretty good. And they were also very generous with their money, and their generosity actually impacted other churches and other Christians to do the same. So it's interesting how our actions impact those around us. So our generosity too can really impact others. And it's a good question to ask us, you know, do we impact others in that way? You know, how we give and all that sort of thing. Because the Corinthians certainly were doing that. And in the next slide, we can see Paul tells them how what actually happened. He said, for I know your eagerness to help, talking to the Corinthians, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. Wow. And in the next slide, we see how impactful it was. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Wow. Now, that's interesting. They had overflowing joy. That's showing me that their heart alignment was right. They had the joy of the Lord, even in the midst of their difficult circumstances. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Wow, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service. Wow. They even asked, they considered giving as an actual privilege, a part of what they were meant to be doing, and they wanted so keenly to please God and to serve God. Oh, that's so generous. So how are you going in this department? How am I going? Well, I have to be a bit honest at this point, because I have to say that when anyone stands up front and starts talking about money, I start to get a bit of an inner cringe. I just don't like it. And I don't know how you're feeling right now. But I thought, well, really, I'm a pastor. I'm meant to be okay with all this giving money sort of stuff and talking about it. Why do I have issues with it? Or why am I not maybe in alignment? So there are three things I thought about and reflected with God. And the first thing was really my upbringing. Now, I grew up in a nice home, lovely parents. I didn't think of them as selfish or stingy in any way. But money was just something we just didn't talk about. Maybe we avoided it. I don't know. But it just wasn't a part of what we did. And so growing up, I wasn't really aware that it's a thing or it's important to God. And it's only later when I became a Christian and I shared a house with another Christian girl, and she was giving money and supporting a child in poverty. And I'd never seen anyone do anything like this before, and she really challenged me to do the same. So I did. And that really started to break a mindset about, wow, my finances, all of me matters to God, including my finances. This is a good thing. And from then on, I started to give regularly to the church as well. So sometimes I think we don't give to others or the church because we haven't actually recognised that our gift and our giving is important to God. And it is, and we can see in Scripture that clearly it is. All we have right now, our money and possessions, is what God has allowed us to have anyway. And in generosity, we're just demonstrating to God that we love God and put our trust in Him to continue to supply our needs rather than trusting in the money that we have or our possessions. So when we're generous, actually demonstrates a change in heart, attitude, and a mindset that we now know that we can live really in freedom. We're not bound by that sense of, do I have enough money or don't I have enough money? So we're not bound up in worry. At home, just as to go on with this thought, I don't know what you're like, but I watch movies, and sometimes I'll hear a line, like a bit of a one-liner someone might say, or whatever I'm watching on TV. I think, whoa, I really like that. That resonates with me. And I'm always trying to find a piece of paper. You can never find a piece of paper when you want one. But there's always the tissue box that's right next to me. So our tissue boxes usually have one-liners written on it that I've written on it, and I have to think about what it is I'm referring to. And so as I was having a cup of tea this week, I was looking at my tissue box and I was reading this line that says, we can't be what we can't see. And I'm thinking, why did I write that down? What does that mean? But I recalled, you know, John Wimber, who's the recognised founder of the Vineyard movement, had lots of one-liners. And he would often say, doing things in the spirit is often caught more than taught. And Jesus did it that way. He showed what it looked like to preach the gospel to his disciples, to heal the sick, to drive out demons. And then he turned around to them and said, okay, now you've seen it, you go and do it. Because they'd seen it, then they could go and do it. And so I found that, you know, my housemate demonstrated to me, I had never really thought about any of this, but I saw it in her, so I thought, yes, I can do that. And the Macedonian church, in what we were just reading before, saw what the Corinthians were doing and thought, wow, that's awesome. They have this freedom to pass on the generosity that they have received through Jesus Christ. Wow, we want to get on board with that. And so, you know, as we think about that, you know, we have the opportunity to influence our family and our friends, parents, you know, even when kids start getting their pocket money. I was talking to someone earlier this week, and when he was a young guy and he got a little bit of pocket money, 20 cents a week, he started giving 2 cents every week. And he thought, God's going to honour that, and I want to honour God. And he started young. He said, and I've never looked back. And my family have all been cared for. He's an older man now in retirement. And he said, it's the way to go. So I thought, wow, that's awesome. So we can encourage one another with our stories about giving. And I've heard of different ones that have really been impacted by giving and felt convicted. Yeah, I really want to do that too. So that's wonderful. Okay, so the first reason why we might not give or might not like to talk about money, as was with me, I just wasn't brought up to think about it as a thing, and it can be ignorance. The second thing is I've been in churches where I think, oh, I don't really like the way they're talking about money. I feel like there's a bit of a slant to it that I'm not comfortable with. And the slant goes something like, if you give money, God's going to give you back more. So it's kind of, yes, he does bless. I mean, Toe shared last week, you know, as we sow, as we give, the same measure and will be given back to you. So if we give sparingly, if we have a stingy kind of attitude, you know, we might find that not much is flowing back. But we can get into a bit of a thing then that I want the second part of it. I want to get, that's why I'm going to give. But no, that's not right, is it? We want to give because God's so generous, and it's a part of living out our life to him to show that, you know, I can give you my money, I'll give you my everything and my money because it doesn't have a hold on me, only you do. And that's what's important. But sometimes when we get that wrong teaching, we can react, and then we might think, well, I don't like what they've said, so I don't want to talk about money at all now. Well, I don't know. That's probably throwing the baby out with the bathwater, as we might say. So for those who don't grow up in an English speaking environment, that might sound a bit weird. But it means, you know, you throw out the whole idea, which is not right because obviously it's in Scripture. It's actually important to God. So ignoring the issue can't be an option for us. But we need to be aware, how do we think about money? And if it's a bit cringy like me, why is that? So it might be something for you. And the other thing I realised as I was reflecting on this with the Lord is also that we must not be unaware of the enemy's schemes. So what do I mean by that? Paul talks a lot about things about life. He talks about everything. Stuff that we probably don't normally like talking about. And a lot of it he talks about is sex and money and relationships and how we don't do things very well sometimes. And I realised growing up, that was certainly two areas that were never discussed. And so it's kind of a bit of a hush, hush, you know, keep it behind closed doors, let's not, you know, shed light on this. But God really wants to shed light on everything in our life. Nothing's off limits for God. And so this area of money is also one of them. And God wants us to have freedom in everything because he wants us to really, really know that our identity and our security comes fully from him. Fully for him, not from anything else. And Satan hates God and he hates you and I. So he loves it if he can get us distracted and to get our security or sense of well-being from anything other than Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, let's not talk about it. That's not God speaking. God wants everything out in the light and says, this is life. So, what are you thinking about this and this and this and this? Bring it to me. Let me talk to you about it. So let's not be unaware. So as we look at the passage again that Paul was talking to the Corinthians, he recognised that, you know, sometimes we can start out with the right attitude, but then we can get a bit distracted. And so on the next slide, he says, you know, it's easy to get out of alignment. So, but just make sure that as you excel in everything, as I said before, in faith, speech, knowledge, complete earnestness and your love, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And he says, I'm not commanding you, because he wants it to come from a right heart. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Jesus is our example, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. So Jesus willingly left his life of glory with God the Father and the Spirit, his wonderful existence. And Philippians says he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. So he emptied himself of that. He came to live humbly as a human being, to serve, because it says in Scripture that he did not come to be served, but to serve. Wow. Think about that. God wants to serve us. He came to serve us. That shows how beautiful our God is. The power of his love is not some domineering God that wants to point the finger at you, condemn you. He came to serve us, to show us what love is like. Love is so powerful. God is love. And it's powerfully shown in the man Jesus Christ that we get to read about. Amazing. Wow, what a generous God. Surely our response is to be like Jesus. That's what God wants for us. So, next slide. So he says, don't give up, but continue in what you're doing. Here's my advice. Last year, you were not only the first to give, but you had the desire to do so. So now finish the work. That's wonderful. Keep going so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it. Don't stop. Keep going. If the willingness is there, so that's the alignment of our hearts, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. And God doesn't want us to go without, because he goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 8:13, you know, sometimes we might think, oh, if I give that, I won't have anything. What am I going to do? Well, he doesn't want that. Our desire is not that others might be relieved, like they have a lot, while you are hard-pressed, you don't have enough, but that there might be an equality. How beautiful. At the present time, you've got a fair bit. Your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. So he's pointing out this beautiful cycle of loving generosity that we look out for one another, which is so beautiful. That's the family that we're called into. And he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. And just the next one, I'm going through a lot of scripture because I think it's always powerful to look at scripture. 2 Corinthians 9, the giving that Paul refers to is to the church, so that through financial giving of Christians, God will be praised. So the service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, so it's important that we need to help one another, help the church, help other churches, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Fantastic. So the result is that people turn to God. Don't put that up net. Yep. So, how can we give and what can we expect when we live in generosity? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Each person should give what they have. You can do the next slide now. Each person should give what they have. decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. So it's showing again alignment of our hearts. We want to give out of right alignment, not out of obligation. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness and you'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Okay. So, how are you lining up? How are you going with this? What could be some helpful next steps for you? Well, it's pretty clear from the scriptures we've gone through that God expects us to give to the work of the church. And So it's a good thing to think about, you know, giving to the fellowship here at Marion Vineyard. And if not, well, why not? You know, let's have a look at that. Money is a vehicle through which God's love is shared. That's just the way of the world, isn't it? We can't buy stuff to give away if we don't have the money to do that. And if you're not currently giving, look, there's no condemnation. We're all learning. So start small, but start somewhere. And keep asking God about it. And it's, you know, there's a lot that's talked about in terms of tithing, giving a tenth. That started in the Old Testament, and some people still like to use that. But if we really look at the example of Jesus, he emptied himself of everything. So sometimes I think 10% is a good place to start, because Jesus gave his all. So it's really something that you need to talk about with God and feel convicted yourself that you've got the freedom to do that. And sometimes it's not so much how much do I give, but how much do I keep for myself. So it could be more than 10%. That's between you and the Lord. But let's make sure that whatever you give, that you're in right alignment. It's okay too, you know, we talk about money, we talk about things, to have that in our lives. God wants us to enjoy what he provides, but it's okay to have these things. The problem is when they have you, when money and possessions have you, that's when we've got to analyze that and let God come in. So we've got up there, we've got the local church. Yep, so it's good to be giving to the local church. And you know, we've recently, as it's the end of the year, been reflecting about our time and our experience here in the City Reach building. And as a fellowship, we have really received generously from the City Reach people, haven't we? And it's really helped us to find stability, to help grow in our sense of community and what we can do, which has been fantastic. Toe and I have been sitting down with the leadership of the City Reach because it's great that we keep growing in our relationship with them. But it's been interesting because they've let us know, and it's probably confidential actually now I come to think, so don't tell anyone, even though it's getting recorded. Next year they foresee that their electrical bill will go to $17,000. That's huge. They've been researching to get solar panels, and that you can put the next bit up now. The solar panels will cost about up to $30,000, which obviously is a no-brainer then, isn't it? You know, for $17,000 a year, but they actually don't have the funds. As I was thinking about this and talking with and praying with Toe, about generosity, and this passage is very much, you know, the Corinthians inspiring the Macedonians, helping the work of Paul, who takes it to all the churches. I thought, what would it look like for us at Marion Vineyard to be generous to our brothers and sisters here at City Reach in light of knowing that they've got this need and they're really trying to plan ahead and get all that sorted? So I thought, wouldn't it be great if we also entered into that cycle of love, you know, they're giving to us, we give to them, that we might actually give them a love gift to go towards their solar panels. And so To and I are thinking that for the next 3 weeks that we provide the opportunity, the next slide please, to if you bring cash to church, you can still put your offering, free will offering, to this fellowship because we still need to, we have costs, but also pick up an envelope if you give cash, and which has got solar panels written on it, and pop it in our little free will box, or online. There's our online details, and put the descriptor of solar panels in there. Wouldn't that be great to just blow their socks off with generosity? I think that would be fantastic. Fantastic. You know, Jesus showed up to Paul and confronted him with God's generous grace and the truth of who God is. Paul was knocked off the trajectory of his life, and he was changed forever for the better. And God wants the same for all of us, for all of our life, all aspects of our life, including our finances, generosity, so that we too might live in the fullness and freedom of life that Jesus died for. So I'm just going to pray and just ask that the worship team come now and maybe just play us one song, and then To's going to lead us in communion.